darkness has fallen on the Magic Island. Once more, the weird yellow glow of artificial daylight covers the scientific isle of Euclidea in the South Pacific Ocean. Joan Gregory and Jerry Hall returned hours ago to the captive Gregory yacht after a terrifying experience in one of the magnetic elevators, only to find Captain Tex Bradford and Mrs. Gregory are missing from the yacht. A note handed to Jerry by the skipper tells them that Mrs. Gregory and Tex are on a secret mission and to make no move until their return. All is silent on the island. While in the radio cabin of the yacht, Jerry and Joan listen to music from the radio and try to keep themselves cheered up as they wait anxiously for Mrs. Gregory and the captain.
I wish they would hurry, Jerry. I'm so worried.
Oh, cheer up, Joan. Tex can take care of your mother and himself, too.
I know Captain Bradford's a wonderful man, Jerry, and Mother thinks he can accomplish anything. But none of you realize fully the dangers on this horrible island.
Well, it won't help them any for us to run around yelling for them. Just sit still like this note said and listen to the music. Well, it's a good thing old G-47 didn't stop our incoming radio beam anyway.
I like this music, Jerry. It's coming from one of your Hollywood radio stations, is it not?
Yeah, and those guys are real hillbillies, too.
What does it mean, this hillbilly? Are they all men from the hills, all with the name William?
Now look, there's so many things you don't know that I don't know where to start teaching you. Do you like the music or don't you?
Oh, yes, Jerry. I enjoy it thoroughly.
Well, then sit still and listen to it.
Stop it, Jerry. Stop that music.
Okay. There you are, Mom. I'll hold it there, and you go ahead and talk while I listen
to
it.
No, stop it. Stop it, please, Jerry.
Okay. Hold everything.
Oh, I'm sorry to be so much trouble to you, Jerry, but I'm so nervous. And you also are nervous, Jerry.
Oh, nothing of the kind. I'm just as steady as a rock.
Then why are you chewing that lead pencil up?
Never mind me. You just sit still and quit worrying. I'll be along in a minute. I'd better leave this radio open on Johnson's wavelength, I guess.
Jerry, do you know all about my mother and Captain Bradford? I mean about all the mysterious things they do all over the world, and how they can have ships belonging to many countries helping them. So many things. Do you know about that, Jerry?
No. And Mrs. Gregory made me promise I wouldn't ask her any more about it. But we'll find out someday. Hey, now where are you going?
I was just going to look out over the island and see it.
No, you're not. Get away from that door. Now, what did I tell you? Didn't it say in the note for us to act just as if your mother and the captain were here on the yacht with us?
Oh, I'm sorry, Jerry, but I get so worried.
Well, so do I. But you'll get over there. Get over there and sit down. Go on, I said. Sit down.
Why, Jerry, you're wonderful when you speak like that. So commanding and masterful.
Oh, all us men are like that. We don't expect much from you women. And, of course, I'm 16 and you're only 15. Makes a lot of difference.
Oh, I'm sure it does, Jerry.
I wish they'd hurry, though. That yellow light is all over the island. And if they haven't got any of those strict glasses, they might get lost.
I think they would not be allowed to have the glasses. But they should be able to find their way back to the glare of the yacht light.
Hey, quiet. Listen.
Why, what is it?
Shh, quiet, I said. Listen.
Someone's coming along the deck.
Sit still. We don't want to act too anxious.
Oh, Mother.
John, my dear.
Boy, am I glad to see you folks.
Sorry to leave you kids like that, but we had to get something done quick.
And Tex thought that if you didn't know anything about it, you wouldn't be subject to any danger over the idea.
Oh, Jerry and I had a terrible experience in one of the magnetic elevators.
Yeah, and Joan acted just like a girl. Started right in to cry.
Well, Jerry, you can't expect us women to be as brave as you men.
No, I guess I shouldn't. Well, Tex, did you get some plan of escape figured out?
I hope so. Pat and I took a long chance getting this thing. Is the cabin all tight?
Jerry and I have inspected the opaque cloth covering since the rain. The cabin is quite safe, Captain.
Good girl, Joan. Well, here's what we've got.
What's that? Looks like a pocket fire extinguisher.
That is one of the small oxygen tanks these scientists have in clips in nearly every room on the island.
I have never been allowed to touch one of those, Captain. Did G-47 give it to you?
Not exactly.
Gee, you swiped it.
I'm afraid we did, Jerry. I don't approve of taking anyone else's property. But this means our chance to escape from the island. Possibly our lives. So we took it.
But when the loss is discovered, G-47 will be very angry.
That's why we've got to work fast. I knew they couldn't see me carrying this thing. I had it inside this coat of opaque cloth. But they'll soon discover it's gone.
I'll help you, Tex. What do you want to do?
Tell you in a minute, kid. First, I want to get Joan and Pat started on my celluloid diving suit. You three wait here while I go to my cabin and get it. I'll spring the lock on this door. Don't open for anyone but me.
You look so excited, Mother. Has the captain a good plan?
Yes, dear. Tex has a very fine plan. Not for our immediate escape, but for getting a message to Johnson so that he may arrange our rescue.
I know what it is. He's going to use that celluloid diving suit with this little oxygen tank inside of it to get through the ring of gas in the fog.
Yes, Jerry. The captain is going to try to swim out through that fog ring tonight. And he's going to put one of those homing pigeons inside the suit with him. Then he'll release it when he's safely outside the ring.
That is wonderful, Mother. And it may work if there's nothing metallic on the captain's clothing.
Yeah. Say, that oxygen tank might set off the alarm.
That's taken care of. While you and Joan were gone, I helped the captain cement a lining of the opaque cloth into his celluloid diving suit and his swimming suit. The magnetism won't affect anything inside that cloth.
I think, Mother, that you and Captain Bradford are almost as clever as G-47 and his scientists.
What do you mean, almost? Tex has got those Euclideans beat.
Okay, Jerry.
I'll let him in.
We'll have to work fast. I put my swimming suit under this robe, so it won't take long to get ready.
Good.
Jerry, go up in front and get the other pigeon. Hide him under your coat as you did before and take your time.
Okay, Tex. I'll be careful not to be seen.
Now, Pat, if you and Joan will help me get into this thing.
What a peculiar garment, Captain.
It's airtight and opaque. That's all we need.
J-12C to J-24Y. Johnson to Bradford. Message for you.
Quiet for this.
Have had no word for you for hours. Transmission conditions perfect here in Los Angeles. Cannot understand why storm north of you should prevent reception by stations east of you. Latest report picked up from oil tanker at 24 degrees south. Says electrical disturbances south of them. Can you hear me, J-24Y? If no answer, we'll repeat every quarter hour. That is all. Johnson.
Then there's no hope for the pigeon to reach him. He's gone back to Los Angeles.
Don't worry, Joan. That was all in code. Johnson is really standing by at latitude 24 south right now.
Yes, dear. And when he said he'd received a message from an oil tanker, it meant he had contacted an oil tanker and was refueled. So now he's ready for anything necessary to help us.
You have some clever and loyal friends, Mother. Will you tell me someday
how... Someday I'll tell you all about Tex and myself and how we're able to do so many things. But now...
It's me.
I'll let him in.
I got him all right, and nobody saw me.
Good boy. Now I'll tie this message to his leg. Then you can help Pat and Joan cement me up in this thing with the oxygen tank and the pigeon inside on my back. Then when I get well beyond the fog and gas rings, I'll rip the celluloid shirt off and turn the pigeon loose.
But how are you going to get back through the gas ring? You're going to ruin that suit taking the pigeon out of it.
That worries me, Jerry. Tex thinks he can hold his breath long enough to swim through the gas ring coming back. But I'm afraid. Oh, Tex, if anything should happen to you...
Oh, forget it, Pat. I'll make it. Now, the pigeon is ready. Open the tank so it barely releases the oxygen, Jerry. Joan, you help Pat cement this thing around my waist. Then you can slip the tank and the pigeon down my back and cement the helmet on.
That's about as little as I can let out of the tank. And be sure it'll be continuous, Tex.
Thanks, Jerry. Now, stick the tank down my back so it lays flat along the bulge where this thing is cemented to my swimming belt.
Coming up. Say, that's just going to fit in there.
Here's the pigeon, Tex. You're sure it won't get crushed?
No, there's plenty space inside this stiff celluloid thing to give the pigeon room. Now, let him down in there easy now.
Little bird isn't a bit frightened, is it, Mother?
We've always been kind to it. It trusts us to continue being kind.
Here's your helmet, Tex.
Just a second. Now, last minute instructions. I can't talk when that is on. Now, when you cement it all around my shoulders, you, Jerry, walk out on deck with me. Walk between me and the island. I'll have this robe of the island cloth over my head and shoulders. We'll both go to the engineer's quarters. You'll have to stay there till I get back.
But, Tex, how will we know if you get...
If I get into the water and start swimming out without being seen, it's all over but the shouting. So I'll have Jerry get the engineer to make 8 bells for you as soon as I disappear in the water. Okay, put it on.
Let's hold this edge here, Jerry. And you hold that down, Joan. Now hold it tight.
Yes, Mother.
Very tight and smooth while I put the cement around it. Yes. Little... There, now, hurry now. This cement will dry as you walk the deck, and I'm afraid something will happen any minute. Goodbye, dear, and good luck.
Bye, dear.
All clear, Mrs. Quigley. Throw that robe over his head.
All right, wait a minute. There.
I'll take his arm. Now, we're all set. See you later.
Oh, Mother... It's so wonderful of the captain to think of that.
Yes, dear. And it's so brave of him to attempt it. Oh, I hope we've fixed everything all right.
It seemed all right. And the oxygen tank will last a long time at the rate it was discharging.
I wonder how long it will take him. He said the engineer would make 8 bells for us when he's safely in the water.
It's only a few seconds until 8 o'clock now, Mother. So no one will notice anything out of the ordinary in the bell.
Yes, Tex figured on that, or he wouldn't have used it for a signal.
Isn't it about time now, Mother?
It shouldn't be long. The engineer was expecting him. Had the hatch open. He could get into the water noiselessly from there.
And if the pigeon gets away successfully, will it be sure of reaching Johnson's boat?
Easily, Joan. According to the position Johnson gave, he's only 5 degrees north of us, or about 345 miles.
Mother, the signal.
Yes, dear. Tex is gone. He's out in the water, swimming through that gas.
Oh, Tex.